Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. This is an interview with Ann McNeil, Dan Calloway, Steve White, and today our special guest is none other than Bruce Guyton. And we are so very excited to bring you another episode of the show. Earl Nightingale said that everything begins with an idea. That idea is founded on the principle found in Acres of Diamonds by Russell Cornwell, where he states that your diamond mine is in your own hometown, your own backyard. Your diamond mine is found within. And Riviera Beach is a diamond mine for so many, many, many individuals who were born and raised, went off and did very good, well, or stayed home and did well. And our desire in creating this show is to bring to the world those of us who are born and raised in Riviera Beach and are discovering our diamond mine within the city limits of Riviera Beach, which is also founded in Palm Beach County, Florida. So with that introduction, I'd like to introduce all of you to my co-host, Dan Calloway and Steve White. And so, Dan, if you'd like to introduce our special guest today, then we can get on with the show.
Thank you very much, Ann. It's a pleasure because Bruce Guyton, he epitomized what people who were born and reared here, going off to school, and he chose to get into the political arena as a council person at an early age, and he's been magnificent. Not because he's one of my sons, but he has been magnificent. I have introduced him numerous of times, and I said he's the best we've ever had from Riviera. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Bruce Guyton, former council person of Riviera.
Thank you, Mr. Calloway. It's definitely a pleasure to be on today. And but for mentors like you and Ann and colleagues who I grew up with, like Steve, I would not have been able to accomplish what I have in life. So kudos to all of you who've had faith in me and have been supporting me throughout the years. So I'm here to entertain any questions. I don't want to talk too much off of this subject, Riviera Beach. So if there are any questions, or I can give a little bit about my background, and then we can go into the questions. So whatever you prefer.
Yes, we'd like to have you share your background, and then we can start with our questions, because the whole purpose of the show is, again, hashtag I am Riviera Beach. I'd like to encourage everybody who's listening, please comment. Please like, please post, please share the show. And if you'd like to have any, if you have any questions, you can press 1 on your phone and we can invite you into the conversation. Press 1 on your phone and we will invite you into the conversation. But Bruce, yes, if you can go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you get here in terms of your background in the city of Riviera Beach. Thank you.
Okay. I had the pleasure of being born here in Palm Beach County in St. Mary's Hospital in 1960. My parents, I was raised by my stepfather. I never knew my biological father, but my stepfather was outstanding. A good provider, very supportive. Samuel Smith married my mother, Alethea Smith, and I had a very good family parental upbringing background. Having said that, Riviera Beach, some may listen to this show who is not familiar with the geography of South Florida. Riviera Beach is located just north of West Palm Beach. It abuts West Palm Beach and runs into Jupiter, North Palm Beach, Lake Park, and those who do know Florida know that all of these cities abut each other. And those are for the people who may not be from Florida and don't understand the geography of it. So there are many area, metropolitan areas that surround Riviera Beach that impacted Riviera Beach because there was a lot of crossover from West Palm to Riviera Beach. So when I was born, we were living on what is called the south end of Riviera Beach, the south part of the city. And we were living next to what is called a firehouse, Fifth Street. Back then, it was called George Street. When I was 8 years old, we moved to an area called Monroe Heights on 26th Court, where I've been living ever since, with the exception of going off to school, going off to the military. My mother had seven kids. I'm next to the youngest of seven kids. I guess they call that the knee baby. And I am the first of my mother's seven kids to graduate from college. That is something that my mother, my parents, my family was very proud of because they've always encouraged us to stay in school. I went through the public school system here in Palm Beach County. I started playing sports at a young age, where Mr. Calloway became somewhat of a father figure. He was working in the city's recreation department. And I was like 8 or 9, started playing baseball, Mr. Calloway coaching, playing football. Calloway is having something to do with that. Mr. Calloway has been a father and mentor to hundreds of kids. I mean, generational kids. He coached some of the parents of people that he's helping now. So he goes 2 or 3 generations in, or either he went to school with some of our parents. So he's been around a long time. I started off in a recreation system and playing baseball, basketball, football. Riviera Beach is an urban area, and there are a lot of temptations in Riviera Beach. My older brothers took a different road. When I said different road, life-wise, they were, you know, doing what they do in the streets, in and out of jail. So, you know, that can impact a young person's direction. But I had a balance. I had the sports with Mr. Calloway with that positive influence that kind of kept me on the straight and narrow. I mean, you know, there were times I kind of veered, but there was always that positive image. So I graduated from Palm Beach Gardens High School, and then I went out to Texas. I went to school at Wiley College. I did play high school basketball all throughout my high school career. Then I went to Wiley College, where I graduated in 3.5 years. And that was when I first got elected to an office. I ran for Student Government Association president, and I was elected in my junior year. And Wiley College is the college that Denzel Washington did the great debaters on. Unfortunately, we didn't have a debate team when I was there. But he went back to when it did have a debate team, and they did very well on the national circuit, and Denzel Washington did a movie about that. After college, I went into the military. I was in the military for 3 years, traveled around the world. I volunteered to go to Korea. We had what is called reforge, your return forces back to Germany. I was part of that exercise as well. And after the military, I got out into the world and started working. I applied to law school at Texas Southern University. And fortunately, I did get accepted. And I started law school And as I started to matriculate, my mother took ill, very ill. And I came home, and I became somewhat of a caretaker. And I don't regret that. I appreciate that, having that opportunity. And when things went south and my mother passed, I decided to go back to school. And I applied for grad school at Florida Atlantic University. And I forget the year, but when I graduated, there was one person there when I graduated from grad school. It was a three-year program. I was working and going part-time. That was Mr. Dan Calloway, the only person there when I graduated from grad school. I got a master's in urban and regional planning. I started working for the county back in 1998. I'm still with the county. I've been there for 22 years. And my first time ever running for office was back in 1991. And it was a fluke that I ran for office because I had no interest in running for office. One of my good friends, John Lee Williams, called me one day and said that he wanted to run for office and he wanted me to be his campaign manager. And I pulled the phone away from my face and looked at the phone like, what is this dude talking about? But none to say we decided to move forward. He ran against a very popular guy, John Cunningham. His family was very popular, very known, and that was going to be an uphill battle. John Lee came within 100 votes of winning that election. And on the campaign trail, people met me and started encouraging me to run. And I ran 2 years later. John Lee ran in 1989. I ran in 1991. And God was on my side. And fortunately, I got elected in 1991. I served two terms back then. Then I served another term in 2013. And I've been involved in politics since the early 90s. And even served as the national delegate for the Democratic Party back when Barack was on the ticket. And I'm still serving the community. Ann and I started a transportation organization called Compto. And a few others, we got together because it's a national organization. And Compto is the Conference of Minority Transportation Officials. And I had the pleasure of them voting me as president, as founding president, back in 2017. And I've been president ever since, and I'm still working for the county, and I'm still involved in politics behind the scenes. That's my life story.
All right. All right. Open it up to Dan and to Steve. Thank you so much, Bruce. Okay, Dan.
Bruce, I need to ask you two questions, and you can get a short answer because more Steve and Ann want to ask you. When you served, what is the difference from right now where our commissioners in Riviera? You should have a better idea than most because you were back there then, and then you came back years later, and now where we are now. What we need to do to help with this pandemic, number one, and stop the crime in Riviera from the leadership of the elected officials? Go.
Being a leader is bringing in your constituency. No leader is an island within themselves. So it's important that the leaders solicit the help of our constituency to implement the safety measures. They should be enforcing wear your mask and social distance. That should be pounded into our constituency, because without them cooperating, this pandemic would never get under control. Even with the vaccine that's coming out, they're going to be those going to say, I'm not comfortable to take that. So they can still be asymptomatic and infecting others without even knowing it. So it's important that we need as leaders to bring the constituency into this equation and impress upon them how important their participation is. As it relates to law enforcement, law enforcement can only do so much. Communities, and as I indicated, I went and got a master's in urban and regional planning, and that's planning communities. But communities are resident and citizen-based, and their involvement determines how successful that a community would be. So it is important that the community engage with law enforcement and be the eyes and ears out on the streets. I grew up in the streets. There's this no snitch rule. I understand that culture. I was even in it for a minute. But there comes a time when we've got to come together as a community and assist law enforcement in ridding our community of those elements that may be detrimental to progress. So that is what I would recommend to the leaders. You have to engage your constituency with this pandemic and with this crime and solicit people with that type of experience, like the Dan Calloways who've been in law enforcement and others who may be in the medical industry or know people in that industry. One thing that I've learned in life that you need to solicit input from those with that type of background for which the issue is surrounding.
Steve?
Okay, all right. Bruce, how you doing, brother?
Steve, how you doing, my brother?
I'm hanging in there, man. I have a question for you as well, and happy to have you on the show. So Riviera Beach, I'll preface it by saying this. So when you look at the demographics of our city, you know, the statistics show that we are supposedly a low-income city. They say that we are a city with a lot of crime, even though I know that they play around with the data quite often. But looking at this city and knowing that even that gentrification looms large when it comes to the black areas of Riviera Beach. So my question for you is that what is it about Riviera Beach that makes it a city that really is worth saving? And what is it that, and I guess picking up on what you just talked about a little bit, and what is it that you see that the citizens, the residents of Riviera Beach need to be doing to preserve this city?
Your first question about what is it about saving. Riviera Beach and Anne alluded to a diamond, but we often say Riviera Beach is a diamond in the rough, and that is absolutely true. As you look at the geographic location of Riviera Beach and the demographic of Riviera Beach, the majority of its population is African American. That's the demographic that is important to those who may be minorities, black and brown. The geographic benefit that we have is that we are one of the few beach communities right on the beach, right on the Atlantic, not a man-made beach, right on the Atlantic Ocean, that is governed by a majority-minority population. That is unique, not just in the state, but in the country. So this is worth saving because we don't have too many cities with the makeup and the demographic and the geographic location that we have. And having said that, our people, our residents, are blue collar. We started off as a fishing community, people coming from the Bahamas and other areas with blue collar traits, which today many of our people still work in the blue collar industry. However, our focus as leaders should be about attracting those type of businesses that our constituency qualifies for. We don't need to be attracting industries that none of our residents will qualify for the jobs. I was big on that, trying to focus on like a laser beam on attracting those type of industries that would give our residents employment, i.e. manufacturing. When Solartron was here and those type of manufacturers, even though there was some issues with the environment, that they some seeped into our ground, and you know, there were some issues. But our cousins, our brothers, everybody was working at Solartron. And we need to understand what our makeup is in order to provide those type of industries that our residents qualify for. And I think they'll be more engaging when they can see the benefits of what their leaders are doing.
Well, a quick follow-up to that, because you raised an interesting point. So the quick follow-up to that, Bruce, is if the economy, though, is shifting to a technological economy or literally has shifted, what responsibility does leadership have to also help prepare the residents for this changing economy? I mean, because the economy has changed and is going to continue to make that shift, whether, you know, we want it to or not. So what responsibility is there both on the residents and on the leadership to help get our residents prepared for this new economy?
Very, very good point, Steve. And you've always been one of our sharpest brothers from the area. And kudos to you. Some may or may not know, but you have been working with young men and young kids and making sure that they stay ahead of this educational curve for years. This is not new to you. You're old school.
Yeah,
this is a passion of yours, and I just want to personally thank you publicly for what you do. And to answer your question, we have a tremendous responsibility to start preparing not just the up-and-coming generations for the technological curve, but those adults who may not have acquired those skills because they weren't in demand back then when they were going to school. I went back to school when I was 48 years old to make myself more marketable. And we have to be in that mindset. So it is important that our city, our leadership, combine forces with the private sector, with resources, to give the adults and the young people an opportunity to start learning the new skill set that are clearly going to be in high demand, even higher than what it is now in the near future. So, yes, we should be teaming up with people like Steve White and those who are out here on the ground working with our kids and who know some of the adults who are looking for a change in careers to ensure that they have the resources they need. If they have that desire, they have to have that desire to want to turn that curve and start learning different skills. And when I say have that desire, you know, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Now, but
right.
You have a lot of people that do want to change careers, and they want to drink, and they should have support from the city, state, federal, and our local community. Good point, Steve.
Thank you. Beautiful.
Mrs. McNeil.
But listen, I have the fortunate privilege of speaking with President Bruce Guyton every single week, and I am excited and I'm really honored to be a part of this because all of us from the city, we're often reminded that. They say it's a poor frog that don't wet his own pond.
Praise his own pond.
that does not praise his own pond. Mm-hmm. Is that how it goes?
That's it. That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to ask you, Bruce, if you could give us, and Steve usually talks about this, you know, when we invite people to the show, we ask them if there's just one action or one takeaway, and I know you mentioned a couple, but if there's just one thing that you could share with a young person that they should consider doing or having, we talk often about this whole idea of living a legacy versus leaving a legacy. And one of the things that I am convicted about for myself is, you know, we talk about a life of purpose and really giving back and learning. You know, we learn how to make money, then we learn how to make the money make money. And at a certain point in our life, we want to learn how to give that money away. And so if you could give us one act, and I know you're very big on giving because you give a lot of time, talents, and your treasure to a lot of worthy causes, through Comptoir and a lot of other activities that you're involved in. But if you could give our young people and some older people also one idea or one thought or one act that they could take from this conversation with you about the spirit and the value of giving, what would that be? And then we're going to go on to talk about the Thanksgiving. So if you can give us one thought,
If I could give young people one thing, a takeaway from this conversation, is that in order to continue to be blessed in life, you have to pay it forward. You need to reach back and help someone else. There are going to be times when there are those that need help. There'll be times when you think you need help and you look at your situation and realize that somebody's doing much worse than you are doing. And it's important to understand it's those times that we need to sacrifice and give to those that are in more need than what we are. If there's one takeaway, you have to pay it forward.
Thank you so very much. Now, I'd like to share a conversation you and I had at our Comptoir meeting where United Way was present. And I asked a question.
And I knew where you were going with that question, too.
All right, so let's tell everybody else what we're talking about. So President Guyton invited – why don't you go ahead and tell him, Bruce?
Okay, we have general membership meetings. We used to have them every month, but now we have them every other month because of the pandemic. And we invite different organizations in and different people with different expertise. So last week we had the United Way in, and we also had Commissioner Mike Bernard, County Commissioner Mike Bernard. So we were talking about the different programs that the United Way has. So Anne, as she often does, chimes in with a very pointed question about contributing to the United Way. And Anne's question was, could someone who's contributing select the organization to which that contribution is given? And the United Way said yes, and I was aware that you could. And so Anne indicated that she would like to give to the Youth Recreation Association. And so Ann and I had a discussion about how to promote giving to the Youth Recreation Association through the United Way. So, Ann, you can take it from here.
Okay, all right. So we all know that United Way raises millions of dollars all across the United States. A few years ago, I was in Detroit with UNCF, and a group of alumni from a particular area of Detroit decided that because they were all giving to United Way through their job, that they would get together and self-direct their United Way giving. And like Bruce said, a lot of people don't realize that you can give to United Way and tell the United Way where you want your giving to go versus giving to United Way and letting United Way decide where they want to go, where they want the money to go. So we do know, and Dan is going to talk to us about the Thanksgiving event, and we're going to continue to ask people to give, and we're going to all also give so we can make sure we hit the goal. But, Dan, what we want to do on behalf of many of us, not just CompTIA members, but people across the world can give and direct their giving to your organization. We're going to get with United Way and help process the necessary paperwork to make sure that the organization can become self-sustaining all year long. And that would all also include MAMA and the Thanksgiving giving and all of that. So then you and everything that you've done will continue forever when all of our eyes are closed, because everybody can give self-directed giving. And then all of these shows and everything we're doing to promote Riviera Beach, now it will have a financial contribution, but we can, every week on the show, have people give through United Way or directed to the organization with the GoFundMe and with the all of the other things that we've created and will continue to create to help support the organization financially. So we wanted to just share that idea with you today and continue to encourage everybody to continue to give, not just once a year for Thanksgiving or not just once a year for Christmas, but all year round, because 100% of everybody that's been on this show has been positively impacted by your giving of your time and your talent and your treasure. And we want to bless you by assuring you that your vision will continue to live on long after all of us are gone. So we'll just want to say thank you for everything you do, and just know that it's not just about, most definitely. So if you want to go ahead and wrap up the show, if you want to share with us about the Thanksgiving, and then we'll have Bruce and Steve give their final remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for making sure that I'm here with you young people, because I've been a part of all of your life, and I'm 82, and I got to get out of this. But Steve is listening to this because we contact him. Artie was supposed to contact him about writing, filling out something that we can get funds from United Way or somebody. Did Artie get with you, Steve?
Not yet, sir, no.
Not
regarding United Way, no.
Well, Adam forgot one, because your sister called us and told us about that. It's something. But anyway, whatever we can do, we are right now behind, and we're going to have to be picking up things Monday, Tuesday, and the latest Wednesday, because Thursday we're going to feed 6,005. Now, Bruce, when he was a commissioner before that, he's been working with this for years. He understands this better than anyone, because he was the main person that I always went to in trying to help get funds. We can't afford not to feed those people on Thanksgiving. They're called most of the people that need help now. They've been out of work for so long, and that little money they were getting for unemployment is not enough. And when you got 602 people in Stony Brook, and you got 281 at Hampton Court, right down there on 45th Street, those people, everybody in the churches got people. So we are asking people, if you're hearing what we are saying, figure a way out how to get us some funds. Right now, we got a Park Avenue barbecue, $750 just cooking macaroni. And we're going to get 125 turkeys. Now, I got the hams paid. Abe Elaman, the professional football player, bought me $4,100 worth of hams, honey-baked hams. But we are short about, with the people who have to prepare it, about $15,000. I hope that our GoFundMe bringing us something. But anything we get is more than we got. So the Youth Recreation, you can make a check out to the Youth Recreation Association, and you go online, wherever it is about the GoFundMe. We need that. And God will bless you. Stevie?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, just to wrap up my comments is, first of all, to thank Bruce Guyton for being on the show. As far as the Thanksgiving, I do know, and I think Artie has addressed this for anyone who may have gone to the website earlier last week or something. I know when I visited the website, there was a technical issue on the donation page, but I know Artie said that would be addressed. So people can donate by visiting the Youth Recreation Association website, of course, as well as, like you said, Mr. Calloway, sending in a check also. But as far as the show and as far as Riviera Beach, I've always been a proud resident of Riviera Beach, honored to live in the city. And I just think that as we just continue to inform people, because as Ann McNeil was saying, one of the things that we want people to leave the show after they've listened to it is, you know, what each of us can do individually that then creates a strong collective as far as what we can do to move this city forward, because this is a city with a lot of challenges now, like every city and every urban city, particularly a predominantly black city. So we want to continue to move the city forward. And the people who make up the city are the ones who are responsible for moving the city forward. So we just want to make sure that we understand that we do have a city with a lot of potential. We do have this diamond in the rough. And it's time for the city to realize its full potential.
All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, Bruce, if you have any closing comments, thank you.
Well, the only thing I would like to do is thank you and Mr. Calloway and Steve, who have been working on the ground for years, for your unwavering support. Not just for the city, but you all have helped people outside of this city as well. Those who may have been in need, who may have lived in the city and moved away or moved to West Palm. So just thank you for all you do. And long as I have breath in me, I've been blessed, and I plan to try to pay it forward as I've been encouraging everyone else to do. So thank you for all you do.
All right. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening in. And please be sure to remember to give to the Youth Recreation. We're going to put the link as a part of this post, and we're going to continue to share that. And Dan, you want to go ahead and give your phone number for people who are listening in that would just like to call?
848-561. 848-4991. That's the landline. You can call me on my cell, the same area code, 561-531-9184. You can call me anytime. And then we'll come and pick up checks. We must take care of the lease, the loss, and the left out. And I want to thank you, Ann, for coming up with this idea. It's making it much, much, much easier for me. And I want all the people listening, I'm accepting prayers. My wife is in the hospital for the last week. Mm-hmm. And I got to contend and make sure I take care of that because it is serious. But God is on the throne. But we got to feed those people, regardless of what, because it's more important for that.
Wow. All right. Well, we're going to make sure that happens, Dan. And so we want to, again, just continue to thank everybody. And do know, hashtag I am, we are Riviera Beach. And with that, we want to thank everybody. Yes.
And I need to tell them about next week. We're still going to have next week after Thanksgiving. We're bringing back, because we got so many phone calls about Spencer Rozier and representing the law enforcement of Riviera. One of the things you asked Bruce and then Steve was talking about it, the Riviera Police Department starting the PAL, Police Athletic League, and that is working directly with the kids in middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and then they just added the elementary school, 3 to 5. I guess will be Mr. Nance. He is Officer Nance, been in the Riviera for 15 years as an officer. He will be here along with the chief, and you need to be working with the chief because of that, what Bruce was saying, everybody's saying we got to work together with the citizen. Nathan Osgood and Spencer Rozier will be back. And then the week after that, we'll be back with some more former elected officials. God bless you all.
All right, everybody, that just means you got to make sure you join into the conversation. And so thank you so very much, Dan, Steve, and Bruce, and all of our callers who are listening in live and those who are listening in on the podcast in the future. Thank you so very much. And again, hashtag I am Riviera Beach. Please like, share, comment, and we will see all of you every Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, right here live on I Am Riviera Beach Talk Radio. All right, everybody, have
Thank
a good
you.
Day. Thank you so very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Bless you. Good day to everyone.
Okay. Everybody, Thanks. Take care. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.